This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Seasons of Our Life.
This morning I'd like to talk to you about the seasons of our life. William Shakespeare wrote these words in his classic work, Macbeth. And here's what he said, life's a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. When it comes to the topic of life, there is no end to opinions as to its meaning, and there are volumes upon volumes are written in an attempt to explain life, and there is no end of bumper sticker philosophies that begins with the words, life is, and then you fill in the blanks, like life is something you do when you can't get to sleep. I don't get it. And then life is what's happening when you're making other plans. In other words, things happen, and this is life. Life is filled with surprises. Life is filled with the unexpected. Life is never a straight line. There are always twists and turns in the drama, which is our life. A lot of surprises. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes was Israel's greatest king, Solomon. Not greatest, but great King Solomon. He lived around 971 BC. He was considered the world's wisest man. He also wrote the book of Proverbs, and the book of Proverbs is replete with the wisdom of God. Interesting, Solomon wrote it under God's inspiration, but his life bared out the fact he couldn't even live by the principles that God had inspired him to write. As life went on, Solomon grew disillusioned with himself. He grew disillusioned with life because even though he declared himself a teacher, even though he declared himself a preacher, even though he wrote wonderful words under God's inspiration, he realized he was moving further and further away from God. And the further away he moved from God, the less meaning he found in life. The further away he moved from God, the less purpose he found in life. And the further he moved away from God, he realized that all the things that he had, which was in the final analysis, everything anybody could ever want to have by virtue of the fact that he could command it. If he had an imagination, if he had a fantasy that he wanted to fulfill, all he had to do as king of Israel is to speak it and it could have been fulfilled. And what he found out was that all of that business away from God in the final analysis was just plain unsatisfying and empty. He uses the word vanity. The King James word vanity is used 32 times. It's a Hebrew word, habel. It means empty. It means unsatisfying. In the final analysis, it means that it didn't live up to expectation. How many things in your life have you tried and found out they didn't live up to the publicity? You know, if you use that certain toothpaste, you were guaranteed to have good, healthy, clean breath, and nobody would be disturbed by it, and yet you walked up to the first person after you brushed your teeth and say, wow, what was that? What did you have last night? Almost nothing lives up to its publicity. You know, that car was guaranteed to give you years and years of satisfactory performance. It didn't live up to it. So many things in life have that tendency of not living up to their publicity and their advertisements and our expectation. Sometimes people, and sometimes we ourselves, don't even live up to our own expectations. The Christian philosopher Soren Kierkegaard writes these words, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. We don't get it as we go through things sometimes. We don't know why something is happening. I like to say, if you want to see God's fingerprints in your life, so many times you got to look in the rearview mirror to see it. It isn't apparent out of the windshield. It isn't apparent as you're going through it that God's got a purpose for all this stuff. But he does have a purpose, and we have to see it. And God allows Solomon to look back on his own life experience and then share those experiences with anybody willing to open up the book of Ecclesiastes, which is our text this morning. Over the years, I've read and reread and meditated and remeditated on Ecclesiastes 3. It's a very familiar passage to you, a very familiar passage to me. I've done two previous messages that the Holy Spirit gave me on Ecclesiastes 3, and I'm going to give you a third this morning because he opened up my eyes to more things. And I'd like to share those things. Solomon lists 28 times in the calendars of human life where there are contrasts to be experienced. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. You know it, to everything there is a season, right? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that works in that wherein he labors? I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God does, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. And that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. And God requires that which is past. In verse 1, he says, life, like the calendar, has seasons. Life has seasons. The spring of our life is in our youth. You remember that when you were able to jump out of bed every morning, you know, boom, boom. No big deal. Nothing hurt. Everything worked. You were like lubed pretty good. Summer of life is our adult lives. You know, we're kind of at that point. The fall of our life is our middle age. Things begin to squeak at that point. And then there's the winter, our old age. Like the seasons of nature, the seasons of our life may be marked by inconsistencies. Some people say this summer wasn't really a really summery winter. There were few 90-degree days, so some people don't think it was winter. So it is in the summer of our years. Some people can be cold and despairing, like the 15-year-old girl who gets pregnant and becomes a mother when she's only a child, or the 16-year-old boy hooked on crack cocaine, whose life now comes down to finding, buying, selling drugs, and stealing in order to support a drug habit. Some in the winter years discover that they don't have to retire and be put on a shelf to waste away. Instead, they discover ways to find meaning and purpose in life by serving other people, by finding something productive to do and not be shuttled off to the side. They find meaning and purpose in their life. Someone wrote, love like youth is wasted on the young. Sometimes when we're young, we don't realize the precious gift that we have. We want to throw it away. And that's not just being spoken to young people, but that's being spoken to every one of us who have been young at one time or another. We don't think past those early years. We don't think of the consequences and the ramifications of our actions in our youth. Verse 2 says, life has two constants, birth and death. What happens between these two focal points tells the story of your life. The value of life is not in the number of years we live, but in what we do with those years. You know, there's no fool like an old fool. In verses 2 to 8, Solomon reflects on 14 pairs of opposite events in life. Being born is out of your control. I don't think there's anybody in this room, and if you are here, raise your hand, all right? I don't think there's anybody in this room who had a choice. Here he is. Who had a choice in being born. You didn't have anything to do about that. But being born was not your choice. You had no choice in that matter, but so much of what your life will become is a matter of your choices. Verse 2 says, there is a time to plant. Plant what? In the fertile periods of our life, we are planting the patterns of behavior that will bear fruit all the days of our lives. We plant the seeds of attitude that will reap negative or positive views of life and people. Right now, young people, you're planting attitudes in your mind that are going to follow you for the rest of your days. How you see life, how you see other people. We plant the seeds of habit that will reap a field of battle all our lives. Where does it start? Overeating. Where does it start? Substance abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, bullying, anger, fear, jealousy, insecurity, arrogance. It starts when we're young. Those seeds are planted. So many times we're the recipients of those things. I never could understand. I knew so many young people whose parents were alcoholics. And I mean, in some cases, I'd go help one of my friends get their dad out of the gutter, out of the streets in New York. Go get the dad from the bar and help him home. The father is staggering. My friend's embarrassed as could possibly be because this is their dad. And in my mind, I'd say, this person would never touch alcohol. Touch alcohol. They become alcoholics too. I know that it's someplace in here, but sometimes we can't get our arms around what it is that happens with people, how we emulate the bad things we see. The seeds have been planted at an early age. We plant the seeds of lies that will choke off the healthy growth and a balanced life. What are some of those lies? Well, it's a lie when we believe we have to be perfect. You've got to be the perfect father, the perfect mother, the perfect son, the perfect daughter, the perfect husband, the perfect wife, the perfect children. With all the perfect people in the room, please raise your hand. You can't be the perfect Christian. Look at the material of your life and you'll see why. It's a lie when we believe that the path to happiness is marked by stuff. How much stuff we have. How many things we've accumulated. You know where the things we accumulate wind up? In the basement or the garage. Have you ever seen people or heard of people who they are so obsessed to buy things and stuff that all they do is buy things and stuff for the sake of buying things and stuff? And it isn't long before you can't even get into the door of their house because there's so much stuff there. And is that stuff bringing any value to their life? Any purpose to their life? Have a fire. See how long that stuff brings you purpose and meaning. It's a lie when we believe that the path to our happiness is marked by a good education at a great school, a good job in the corporate world, a big house, or in a big car, or in another person. So many of us are hanging our happiness on somebody else. If I marry this person, they will make me happy. If you're not happy, nobody's going to make you happy. It's in here. And it's certainly not going to make us happy to satisfy our base lusts. Look, you can be happy for a time. It may seem like you're happy when you're satisfying the lust of the flesh, but I got news for you. It doesn't last that long before you realize you're in more trouble than you ever hoped to be. It's a lie to believe that one person's personal value or worth is determined by their appearance and by their wealth, by their position, by their friends, or by their possessions. And so many of our young people are getting hung up about how they look. So many of our young women, so many of our young girls have been destroyed because in their mind they're not beautiful. You are beautiful. Look again. Don't let somebody else define what beauty is for you. Don't let anybody else tell you what your value is, what your worth is. God says that you are beautiful in His eyes. He gave His Son to die for you. You don't have to measure a certain set of measurements to be beautiful in God's eyes or for people who really love you. You're beautiful the way God made you. We plant the deadliest seed of all, as Solomon found out, when we believe the lie that says you can live without God, and you can't. When we've planted any of those seeds and then come to realize they've turned out to be weeds, it's time to repent and allow the Holy Spirit to pluck up what we planted. And that is a lifetime process. You planted. I planted. We don't have to blame the devil. You planted the seeds of what eventually became your life in great measure. Verse 3 and 8 says, there is a time to kill. History demonstrates that there are periods of war and periods of peace. Since World War II, there have been over 150 wars. And here we are in September 2014, and we're faced with conflicts all over the world. I mean, I don't know about you, but it just seems like things are really getting pretty tense. I mean, Israel and Hamas and the Palestinian situation over there, some kind of a temporary peace that's existing. ISIS versus other Muslims, ISIS versus the whole world, in particular the Western world, killing off Christians, killing off other Muslims, burning down monuments, blowing things up. And what about Russia and the Ukraine? I mean, do things seem like they're going pretty good to you? You know, the Bible talked about a period of time when they'd say peace, peace, and there is none. You know, we established the United Nations. And the idea of the United Nations was to be a peacekeeper. They don't seem to be able to do much right now. We talked about NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and their ability to keep things from happening over in Europe. They don't seem to be too powerful right now. We thought that we had a rapprochement. We thought we had built a new relationship with Russia. We had reset the button of our relationship. It doesn't seem like that right now. Time of war and a time of peace. War doesn't last. Peace doesn't last. But when wars come to an end, then comes a time to heal the land. And verse 3 says, there is a time to break down and a time to build up. On September 11, we saw the symbols of American commercial and military prowess attacked as sections of the Pentagon went up in smoke and the Twin Towers dissolved before our very eyes. We became frightfully aware that no tower built by man stands forever. But today, those scars in the earth have been healed over as new buildings and monuments are being erected on the footprint of the World Trade Center. However, the scars in people's lives who lost loved one or loved ones in that destruction, those scars don't heal so easy, if ever. It's curious to me. There's only going to be one person in heaven who bears the scars of what happened on earth. Do we remember who that is? Jesus. So those scars that you may be bearing in your life right now from all the things we've been talking about this morning, whether it's the scars of your youth, the scars of your past, the scars of current decisions that you've made, the consequences with which you are living, the Bible says that when you get home to be with the Lord, gone, gone, gone. As a sign of how much Jesus loves you, he'll still be wearing the scars of the nails in his hands and in his feet, in his side, and on his head. And instead of something for you to be crying about, it'll just be like somebody sending you a love letter every day. I love you. Greater love has no one than how much I love you. In verse 4, it says, there's a time to weep, laugh, mourn, and dance. Well, this is real life. Things start out with hope and anticipation, and then realities begin to insinuate themselves. You started out one way in a relationship. How is it now? You started out one way on that new job. How is it now? You started out that way with that new challenge. How's it going now? Sometimes the road to along these things just becomes so muddled and marred and pot-filled and stone-filled, and we trip over it and break our necks. One of my favorite songs is Something Beautiful. Something Beautiful. My hope for life are the hopes that I harbored deep down in my heart. But my castles all crumbled. My dreams, they all faded. My fortunes turned to dust. So I wrapped them all in the rags of my life, and I laid them at the cross, where something beautiful and something good happened. Life is a trade-off. give and take, losses and gains, ups and downs. Solomon says it this way in verse 5. There is a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. It's been said, good fences make good neighbors. Stone walls and fences not only mark borders, they also divide people. In our personal life, there comes a time when we must tear down the walls which we have erected to keep people out. In many instances, we've built those walls out of fear, prejudice, insecurity, hurt feelings, and anger. We just won't let anybody in. We don't want to be hurt again. We don't want to be disappointed again. But when you block yourself off with those past hurts, when you block yourself off from those past fears and anger, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to do something new and make something beautiful out of the rags of those disappointing circumstances. It's time to tear down the walls of those things. It's time to let go of some of the things that have happened in your life that just seem to have you by the throat and won't liberate you. They won't liberate you. They want to keep you prisoner. But the truth shall make you free. And the truth is that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Solomon goes on to write, there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And verse 6 and 7 says, nothing in this life is forever. How old were you when you figured that out? Nothing in this life is forever. So your footloose youth will not last your lifetime. You won't wake up every morning feeling like you could run a mile. You're lucky you can make it to the bathroom. Gee, that's really a good amen, I think. School days don't go on forever. You heard that back there in those back pews? School days don't go on forever. The kids won't always be living at home. Yeah, some people look at it that way. Your days of earning a big salary or having a big job, they come and go. Don't we know that? Thinking that if we work for corporate America that we've got security, it's going to be forever. What's forever? What's forever? This is one of the big disappointments in human life right now, is realizing that the things we thought were going to go on, the ball is going to keep bouncing. It stopped. And the question is, now what? Now what? Where do you go from here? Who do you call? Ghostbusters? Who can you reach out to when the ball stops bouncing and life isn't turning out the way you anticipated, that the path didn't work the way you wanted it to? Who are you going to call? And this is where your relationship with Jesus Christ is all the more meaningful, because you can go to Christ. You can get on your knees. You can fall on your face. You can cry out to Him and say to Him, Lord, the circumstance, the situation, I am so frustrated. I'm so hurt. I'm so angry. I'm so disillusioned. I'm so disappointed. I don't know where to turn but You. Well, guess what? Sometimes when you get on your knees and when you get on your face crying out to the Lord in disappointment, that's exactly where He wanted you in the first place. He's really not your last resort. You know, I had no place to go, so I turned to the Lord, huh? There's an inscription on a cathedral clock in England, and this is what it writes, and I think you'll appreciate it. When I was a child, I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth, I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. I've been talking to people of late and saying, where did the summer go? What summer? Where did it go since 1955? I mean, where did the year go? Where does anything go? But I know as you look at it and you look back at it, it went so fast. And guess what? That's ticking closer and closer and closer to home. Verse 8 says, even love and hate, the two most important high-profile things in people's lives, have their seasons. Love can mature or wane. It can be passionate or passive. It can also turn to ambivalence and hate. And the opposite is true, that sometimes hurtful, hateful relationships can turn around. But you know, we don't work with them long enough to let that happen. Sometimes we go so hurt that what we do is what a dog does. You get hit by a car, you run in the opposite direction. You get hit by hurt in life, and you go in the opposite direction. You want to get away from those people. Hang around sometimes and find out if you can get it back together again. It may take years. Emotions and relationships based on emotions are at best a roller coaster. This life is our training ground and our testing ground. You can have a testimony of what God, you can't have a testimony of what God can do in your life until, guess what? Until you've been tested. You can't have a testimony, oh, look what God did in my life, unless something happened in your life. You can't know how sustaining God's love and presence is until something happens in your life. You've lost a loved one. Someone has let you down. You've lost a job. You can't really speak about how great God is and how caring He is and how He's watching over you until you hit one of those situations. Until then, you're riding on autopilot. You're riding under your own steam in your own mind. But you're never under your own steam if you're a believer. He's guiding your path. When bad things happen to Christians, there's a purpose. Situations and circumstances may not change. They may be your new reality, but with God's help, you can learn to handle them. We don't like that. If there's one thing we don't like as a people, is new reality. We want everything to stay just as it used to be. Why? Because we're very comfortable in that chair. We're very comfortable in those shoes. We never really want to get uncomfortable, but life can be very uncomfortable. And again, where are you going to go when life's uncomfortable? Who are you going to turn to when those shoes start to squeeze? Only one place to go, and that's what Jesus has given you as resources. Turn to Him in prayer. Go to His Word. Be surrounded by godly brothers and sisters who are counselors. Go to God. Verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in His time. To everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. Let's begin a season, or maybe in your case, continue a season of allowing God to plant seeds of encouragement through the Holy Spirit in your life. You've been a Christian for a while. What have you seen from God's loving hand? Have you seen Him watching over you? And finally, learn to let go and let God. When you've come to the end of the rope, when you've gone as far as you can, that's where God begins. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.